Get it out there. Anyways, what's going on? It's never that simple with Ramon. I am back. It's been some time. Been a couple months. But there's some things been there have been some things that's been going on. Just to kind of start out, once again, I do thank you for the support. Been able to kind of expand on some things in my life. And, this is something I really miss and I really enjoy doing. So welcome back. We're on episode 11. So it's been a little work in process. No, it's been a couple months trying to find that consistency, but been working on a few other things. So let me get started out with that. So as many of you know, I've been DJing for some time now, over 7 years doing weddings and professional events, right? But I've always been a music person, always had a good ear for music, so that's why you have Mozart, which is the producer of me, but DJ Ramon, that's more of a business thing for me. And recently, decided to go get my DBA and be registered under DJ Ramon. So in the process, we have a website, and I also have business cards. And what I've been able to try to do is build the relationships from just being my own entity, right? I still have the opportunity to work for other DJ companies. I still have the opportunity to go out there and be a representation of myself and represent these companies also. But I wanted to kind of build my own. And it's going to be a simpler process due to the fact that it's not a special name or anything. It's just simply DJ Ramon, right? And so I think that's what makes this great. And just kind of building from there, you know, I've built some really good relationships, people who really enjoy my services, who tend to have a great time no matter what I do. You know, if I'm doing a wedding, a birthday party, a corporate party, high school, middle school, like any type of anything that someone needs to DJ and ability to have some fun. That's where you will find me having a good time and being skilled, being talented, being knowledgeable. Because I genuinely care about what I do. I really like that. It goes back in the day when you go to the club and you hear DJs like, man, what is he doing? But so that's me now. Anyways, so kind of start out with that. And in the process, you know, obviously last podcast just talked about how I recently was engaged. But what's crazy is the process of, planning a wedding can be a lot. What is easier for me, in a sense, outside of the financial part, that's the tough part. But what's tough is still the planning, right? I've been in a lot of weddings, and you learn what you don't want. So it makes it easier for what you want. But now you still have to go out here and obtain those things. And unfortunately, things can get very expensive very fast. I mean, there's some venues that cost tens of thousands of dollars just to walk in and breathe. Yes, breathe in, right? And I feel like, look, people spend so much money for these venues. Tends to be in the middle of nowhere. People spend an abundance of money on food. Not all of it's great. And you go out the way to spend your money to invite people that you feel like should, you know, it'd be great to be a part of the special moment. And unfortunately, some of those people are either there just sitting there like, you know, look like they don't like everything going around. They just there to eat your food, clap their hands a couple times, and sneak out. Like, I don't want to waste anything, but I do trust the people that's going to be around there. And it's different for Sarah and I, because Sarah's family all here in Texas. That's a 6-hour drive here. Almost everyone I know, basically coming from somewhere else, out of state. And originally the idea was we're going to have it around the holiday time, right? So you have the New Year's Eve type wedding. But the way I look at it is, look, I don't want to inconvenience people to try to get here and travel where you have holiday prices, staying at a hotel where it's at holiday prices. Like, I know they love me, but I personally don't want them to go broke over that, you know? And it's, you know, coming down to Houston to have a good time is different from coming from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, things like that. So I think that's just one of those things that's just very important to figure out how do we plan this out. So it can be a lot. I think the struggle's overrated. It's unnecessary stress. Same thing with, you know, trying to get a house and how detail-oriented you have to be and how strict you have to be. Like, it's not that fun, and especially when your money is limited. Like, you're trying to plan for the future, but then you're supposed to obtain it and try to maintain what you got going on right now. So, yeah. Also, I'm visiting home next week. Actually, I leave Sunday early morning. Unfortunately, but fortunately, I do have an event on Saturday. And it's going to be like an hour away. And I get done at 11 o'clock. And then after I get done at 11 o'clock, I have to pack everything up and then drive back home. Which more likely means I'm going to get home like around 1 in the morning. But our plane leaves at 5. So I might not get any sleep. Doesn't matter. I'll sleep on the plane. You know, take my, the motion sickness medicine? Because my motion sickness is trash, right? And get in town and just, you know, hopefully get enough rest and hang out with my older sister. And it's my mom's birthday, so hopefully she come in town. We go to dinner or lunch or just hang out in general in Chicago. We're going to be staying downtown Chicago for a couple days. And then I make my way towards Milwaukee and hit Madison up and I have friends still in Kenosha racing. I have to just see everyone the best way I can. And I'm going to have about a week up to that Tuesday to do all that. So I'm really hoping it all works out. And right now, my tooth is hurting. You know, I'm not a medication person and I don't pop pills. But this pain is excruciating pain. And I just want to get this tooth pulled out ASAP. But just got to wait for some money to come in anyway. Also, I don't know if you've seen, but it's a lot that's been going on NBA. The NBA, the best league in the world. Who cares what you think? So much. We also have recent news where we have Jay-Z. Jay-Z is part of the, you know, working with the NFL when it comes to the entertainment. But also, it should piggyback also where Kaepernick started when it comes to social justice, right? And it's a lot of... It's just so many opinions, so many things that people are taking a step back and maybe looking at it as, okay, has to be something to it. It's a process. He has a bigger plan, right? And also, not too long ago, they had his top 50 list. And I want to give you a strong opinion about how I feel about the list because people really was getting in their feelings about it. And something I don't understand, but I'll get into that last. I'm trying to do this segment called The Overthinker. You know, I'm just overthinking. And because I'm known as overthinker, I think that'd be a segment, The Overthinking Moment, that type of thing. Anyways, so let's get back to it. So I told you about the DJ stuff. I told you about the wedding and things like that. Visiting home. Kind of a side note about visiting home. The last few years, me going home to visit has meant a lot more than it's ever been. I spent so much time trying, you know, like I was able to get away from home and I have loved ones, things like that. But it just wasn't a happy place. You know, it's very depressing. But, you know, anywhere you go, wherever home is and don't have the best memories and certain areas just look a certain way, you're just going to have bad memories and don't really want to go there. But, you know, my life is somewhat in a catch-22 phase. And that's, I haven't lost a lot of people in my life growing up, right? You know, outside of my grandparents, you know, I still have my grandmother left on my mom's side, but, you know, other people haven't really passed. And unfortunately, that means that everybody's getting old at the same time. So because everyone's getting old at the same time, that means that everyone's getting sick. You know, everyone's dealing with some health issues that can be concerning when it comes to life. And they're just really breaking down. And it's just really tough to see because people that you always seem to be so strong and so, you know, always just on the move and always on the up and up, seeing them at their weakest is hard to see. That happened to me last year, and it's an emotional thing. And I'm not even an emotional person. It's just people you see and really love and care for, see them go through certain things. It's hard to witness, right? And so that's why it means so much to me. And let's get away from Houston, man. Like, I know Chicago is not the, but at least in Chicago, I'm being in a very controlled environment, quote unquote, because, you know, that's something what Sarah has going on with her job. And so we just get a chance to hang out downtown Chicago, and it's really nice. And I, you know, it's not like I'm being a city going anywhere, just being, that's the controlled environment downtown, where everything's walking distance or Uber distance. So yeah, that. So let's get into the NBA. My Lakers, I don't even know how to feel right now. I don't even call them my Lakers. I'm just, they traded Lonzo Ball. They traded Brandon Ingram. They traded Josh Hart for Anthony Davis. Most people agree with that. I can't be upset at that. I, deep down inside, feels like they wanted to keep Lonzo, especially LeBron. You know, I know people love Kyle Kuzma because of his mentality and the way he goes out there and score. But it's always funny because what ends up happening, and I'm add Melo to the conversation, people love, and I hear Bomani Jones speak about this, people love young scorers, like high volume shooters. When they're young, you have the Donovan Mitchell, you have Kyle Kuzma, Tatum is like that. They love when they're young. And as they get older, they really start shitting on them, right? And when you sit back and, you know, the basketball's about scoring and getting buckets, right? But the narrative have changed over the years. Well, once upon a time, people loved the Jordan, the Iversons, and Carmelos, but now it's about LeBron. Do you have an all-around game? Now, the narrative I don't like is people saying LeBron's not a scorer, even though he's always been a person to average over 25 points a game. So when he doesn't shoot well, oh, he's a distributor, but that's besides the point. It's a simple fact that when the guys are young, they can score. That's cool. But what's also forgotten about is, and guys need to be careful who are young, high-volume shooters, is what else do they have in the arsenal when it comes to their game outside of scoring, right? Are they a good defender? Can they rebound? Are they a great distributor? Do they have an impact that, okay, your shot's not going down? What else can you do? And I feel like Lonzo might not be the scorer. Kyle Kuz. Kuz can be a guy that scored 25 a game. Maybe, I think he's going to be more one of like 21, 22 guys that probably can go off of 30 and 35, but that's probably going to be an average. But what the thing about it is, okay, Lonzo becomes a 17-point scorer. Let's say Kuzma's a 21-point scorer a game. Kuzma's a 6-rebounder a game type guy. Lonzo, he averaged 6 rebounds his career. He could be a 17-8-8 guy next year. And he's an elite defender. If people don't know, he is a legit elite defender. When people talk about, you know, it's tough because I've spent so long trying to avoid talking about politics and sports and all these other things that people like to talk about, social stuff, race. Like, people were just not savvy enough to discuss those things, but they always have something to say, right? And if you look at a guy who's in his first and second year coming in, still have to work on the shooting, which is interesting because Lonzo Ball shot better from 3 than Kuzma last year, which no one tends to talk about. And when LeBron was injured, guess who shot better from 3? The best from 3 on the whole team when LeBron was out before Lonzo got injured? Lonzo Ball. Guess who shot best from 3 in the quote-unquote clutch for the Lakers last year? Oh, Lonzo Ball. So anyway, I understand the shot looks a certain way, but the narrative is the ball going in. Now, there's other aspects of his game you need to work on, like the free throws and just being comfortable getting to the hoop and being aggressive. But you can't, I don't understand where there are certain guys who people love Tatum as a scorer. Okay, how his rebounding, is his rebounding an impact? Can he run the break? Can he just get 10 assists without even trying? Can he stop his man? Can he go out here and guard other people's men? People forget, this is how cold Lonzo was last year. The Denver game where he had to step back and get Jokic. There were times where they switched off and Lonzo had to guard Jokic in the post. No one ever talked about this. I don't know why, because I noticed little things like this. He was giving Jokic, like, the it was almost Draymond Greenish, where he wouldn't even let Jokic get the ball up. Jokic kind of had, he had to pick up his dribble. Hands are so quick. But anyway, enough of that. So the trade happens, and it's going to be interesting because now the Pelicans has built something where you have a bunch of young guys. You have a very well-respected vet. You bring in another well-respected vet. And then you have this superstar young guy in Zion. And Lonzo's going to fit perfect with guy because Zion can run the floor. Because people don't really know what he can do off the dribble on his own, but he can literally be the Blake Griffin type. And I think, you know, the problem with the NBA sometimes is people get so caught up in, we need guys to shoot jumpers, things like that. Whatever you are elite at, you get better at that and get to the NBA, and you work on those other things in the process, but don't cut that off. And I remember hearing people like Charles Barkley going at Blake Griffin saying that I think he's just a little too aggressive. He's going hard all the time. What the fuck else is you supposed to do? So then all of a sudden when Blake Griffin start working on other aspects of his game instead of just, you know, obviously doing some injuries, things like that, then people don't consider him the same superstar. Yo, he'll still yam on you. He's always been a pretty good passer. He always knew how to dribble, but it's like, yo, this dude can get a double-double without even trying, and that's what caused people to really focus on the Clippers. Guys like Chris Paul's like, well, if I can't go to the Lakers, I'd rather go to the Clippers. It's L.A. I get to play some young guys. Anyway, so it's going to be interesting because now with the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA championship, kind of just, now, I have no transition with that. Just that's pretty much what happened. Kevin Durant left Golden State, which, by the way, I have to say this. Golden State forever is the reason why teams are finally becoming competent. It gets old every, like, do y'all not like winners? Are y'all that much of a loser in your life where you just don't like winning? Where it's like, the Warriors did something that every team tries to do. You build through veteran free agents. You build through the draft. You groom them to where they need to be, to the point where you can get an elite free agent to play there. I'm from Milwaukee. The Bucks are doing the exact same thing. The Bucks was a 60-win team this year, and if an elite guy said, I want to go there, yay, now we can dominate. Like, the people get so caught up in sport where it's like, I just like parity. Nobody give a fuck about parity. It's about dominating. Because if that was the case, then maybe these U.S. teams should not form together because it's about parity. It's about competition. The U.S. team should only have a few superstars so, you know, other teams around the world can compete with the USA. I don't hear anyone saying that. So why the fuck are you getting upset at the Warriors? Well, the Warriors did everything authentically. You build through the draft, you bring in veteran guys, and you get a superstar free agent who's interested in the system that you've built there. Name another franchise who's not doing that. And if you are okay with not doing that, don't be a fan. Don't get mad and complain your team lose. Don't get upset because you're not in a championship run. Just sit there and just be losers. Be the trust the process type people. So anyway, people are happy Kevin Durant left. Now it's a chance for other people to win. To me, it's just people like mediocre. Like I said, the Warriors are the reason why teams stop being incompetent when it comes to you have to build correctly. People forget. Steph was back in the draft because people didn't think he was going to be this elite. People slept on Klay Thompson's at Washington State. Yes, those are still lottery picks, but it wasn't the top five. People didn't care about Draymond. They thought this was just chubby dude, like a Sean May type of cat. Andre Iguodala became kind of a journeyman at one point. They brought him in. Sean Livingston, people didn't think he was going to have a career past a certain point. Brought him in. The Wolves are transitioning from the Steven Jackson, Barnes, Monte Ellis years. So they figured they needed a big man because at the time, shooting threes wasn't always a thing like that. They traded for Andrew Bogut from Milwaukee. Former number one pick, Andrew Bogut. And that's how they built their team. They became unstoppable. I understand they won 73 games. I understand that same year they lost to Kyrie, LeBron and Love, and Jefferson, and J.R. Smith, and Amon Shumpert. We all know, like, and people look at it like, well, the way the Thunder lost, like, look. It's funny because the same way people was thinking like, oh, man, two things happened in 2016 that people really didn't think was going to happen. And y'all thought this shit was a joke. First, if article comes out and say, man, maybe Kevin Durant might be interested in the Warriors in a 2016, was it 16 article? February 2016? Maybe that'd be something people should be opening and look out for. The same way if you don't play around with politics and thinking that, Trump might not get elected. Nope. And those two things happen that same year because people just think shit's fucking joke. Anyway, so that happens. People upset, have all these names for them, and blah, 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 and all in their feelings, and who gives a flying fuck how they feel. That's how you build a team. That's how you build a dynasty. The same way people feel like, man, if Kevin Durant would have stayed with Westbrook, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's supposed to be feeling bad for the Thunder, but then the next year Westbrook has a triple-double, doesn't get far in the playoffs, and then people feel bad because they don't have the talent around Westbrook, and the year after that before they get Paul George. So it's like, okay, so if you feel that way now, what the fuck you thought Kevin Durant was feeling like? Well, it was just him and Westbrook. Roll out the ball and figure it out. The idea is to work smarter, not harder. After they went to the finals in 2012 and lost to Miami Heat, it was a loss of James Harden, you trade. You make that Orlando trade from Serge Ibaka, bring in Oladipo. You fire Scott Brooks as your coach. Kevin Durant had that foot injury. Westbrook had a couple knee surgeries. But you want to roll out the ball and say, man, get us there. No, you need a system to preserve their bodies and not put so much pressure on them to do so much. That's how people break down. The Warriors were smart, too, because they looked at it as past a certain point, they wasn't going to get to the finals over and over again. Kevin Durant being on the Warriors preserved, even though it's five straight finals, it's five straight finals. Just imagine if those same three guys, their body probably be in a totally different predicament right now. That's the big picture. That's the intelligent thing. I just think people were just like, it's all about dominating your competition. It's all about being likable. If you like, no one says anything when Magic went to 9 finals in 12 years or Michael Jordan went to 6 finals, 8 years. Lakers won 3 straight, went to 4 straight finals. LeBron went to 8 straight finals. But the Warriors, oh, no, this is too much. I can't believe this. That's why I don't take you serious. I just don't take y'all seriously because of that. Y'all trash. And it's simple. Y'all are trash. T-R-Ash. Trash. Kind of to add on to that, also with the NBA, there's been a lot of movement. I think that what's going to be interesting is now when, you know, the Warriors losing in the finals, people happy about it. Kawhi Leonard, which he is, this is what people don't realize about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's been the same player since he came in the league. Y'all just don't know it, right? It's about usage. And if you look at Kawhi when he's played with the Spurs, his usage was low, but his percentages have basically been the same. Around a 50% shooter or so, 45 to 50, 37, 38% from three, 80-some percent free throw shooter. It's the same thing when he came in. It's the same thing as last year with Toronto. His usage went up. Now, he's worked on his one-on-one game. His man-to-man game on offense, like, you know, getting his own shot. He worked on that. He's always been an elite defender. This was more about opportunity than anything else. And recovering from injury. And so I think that's what I think the missed opportunity people usually have when it comes to these things is, yo, y'all really have to look at the details of, okay, how did this happen? What happened? Outside of injuries, looking at individual players and figure out, okay, oh, this makes sense. He's always been, it's about opportunities, about his usage going up. He still has the same impact, but even more, now he has more control of his own destiny. Now, I don't know, maybe the thing was that Pop was going to have the exact same thing happen. You're going to have the ball in your hands more and all these other things. But maybe you're just like, hey, man, I just want to move on. You start losing trust in people because, you know, you have veteran guys who try to make people feel guilty about something. Like, I've dealt with an injury too. He really is a quiet assassin. He had people in his feelings. People all in their feelings over Kawhi. So it's going to be interesting next year. You know, people wait for Kevin Durant to recover from injury. People love what the Clippers and Lakers is going to be next year. You still have some other teams that's still going to be part of it. Denver, the Rockets, the Westbrook trade. The Paul George trade, that came out of nowhere, but that was dope. Which, by the way, I don't think people really really understand this. Okay, so before LeBron James went to the Lakers, it was said that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were interested in going to the Lakers. This is when they had the young core. You had Colts coming out. Paul George really liked the young core, liked the young dudes, Alonzo, and what they can do. And, you know, it's like they seen that. They was like, man, it's dope. But then as soon as LeBron go to Lakers, it was kind of like, I don't know. So because of that, guys hesitated to go there. Conclusion of story. People really wasn't looking forward to playing with LeBron like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's just the truth. If somebody tell me about a party, hey, Ramon, we about to get it in at this party. All right, cool. Then you hear somebody, oh, so-and-so said they kind of going to party. Damn, really? It's about that person. I understand people don't want to say too much about LeBron or whatever narrative. Like, cool dude, people really genuinely like him, but it's a different monster playing with him. I don't understand what's wrong with people saying that. It's the fucking truth. And speaking of LeBron, I got to do a quick thing about Kobe. I mentioned this, but like I'm all over the place on the sports thing, but Kobe Bryant is one of the only players ever you ever hear about where players themselves would be like, look, Kobe Bryant is so fucking cold. He's difficult to guard. You can't fuck with Kobe. I love Kobe. He's one of the toughest dudes and the best players I've ever seen. Fans and media be like, nah. Kobe, I mean, he really good, but it's almost like he's underrated. Like, I don't care if people get in debates if he's better than LeBron or Jordan. Who gives a fuck? But I bet you people to put their money on somebody to play or do whatever, people going to have more money on Kobe than you think. Even people that say they don't really rock with Kobe like that. People just, regardless of what anybody say, when you know this different breed, you rock with that different breed. Especially when you know they just a different type of dude. So it's just so crazy that players themselves like, nah, man, this dude, man, I don't know why y'all forget about this dude. And fans and media really be out here like, no, that's not true. I don't understand. Motherfucker, they played against this dude. They've had to deal with this dude day in and day out. Game after game. Anyway, so people really look forward to, man, LeBron really going to, next year, man, y'all done pissed him off. All right, cool, let's see it. Because the same thing happened last year. People love using him. He averaged 27, 8, and 8. Anyone who's watched the Lakers or went around during that NBA season, I've asked people, like, did it feel like LeBron averaged 27, 8, and 8? People like, nope. I was like, exactly. That's why analytics happen, because people talk about, well, you need to stop using numbers because them numbers can lie. That's why you have to look at the advanced numbers. Not saying LeBron was trash, but we need to stop overrating the idea like, yo, the Lakers was a 500 team with him on the court anyways. People can say talent. Cool, I guess. Injuries too. That impacts it. But his impact, you can see the games where it's kind of like, I understand why can't it be that way? That's what you notice. It's not an insult. That's pretty, because if that was the case, he wouldn't be being the way he is now about, yeah, man, I'm going to come back better than ever. Because you knew what was up. Everybody knew what was up. I don't know why people acting scared. So speaking of LeBron, we have his partner in crime, his homeboy, but mostly his business partner. The most important thing, his business partner. Most importantly, he has a name, his own entity, his own person, Rich Paul. And it has people scared. NCAA constantly be on some type of fuckery, like they give a fuck about something or they really don't give a fuck about. But if you really give a fuck about it, then you would be a lot more intelligent of how you approach certain things. It's so much money to be made, and it's so much power to obtain. And they do both at the same damn time. And people be side with the shit. Which, by the way, I don't understand. When it comes to professional and college. Yo, if I walk into your job, and everything your boss says, when it comes to how much money you think you deserve to get paid, how you are, and I agree with everything your boss says, you be ready to fight somebody. So then why do you do that with athletes? I understand there's millions of dollars exchange, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They don't mean anything. It's the principalities of the situation. It's the same thing. The same ratio. Y'all will side with billionaire owners who don't give a fuck about them before y'all side with the players. So don't get upset if somebody come to your job and like, man, your boss is right. You don't deserve to get paid $12 an hour. You be ready to box somebody. That's it. That's how you know people are dumb. Just rub dumb. Anyway, so what was I talking about? So anyway, NCAA is on the fuckery, the 4-year degree, which is so weird because what I don't understand is when you have a bunch of people who's worked with people with college degrees and still do fucked up shit, like it's, people been saying, like, having a four-year degree don't show anything about your morals and integrity. That's, I mean, it sounds good. It's like somebody tell you, I go to church every Sunday. You ain't living your life right. What is that? What the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is with the ages. Like, I got my four-year degree. Okay, your athlete's going broke. You've been stealing money from them. So, to me, I felt like that was more one of those, you know, you keep things within the network because they people have friends who have friends who have friends and feel like they can't get certain things. So then when you limit it, that benefits them. It's almost the same thing when people talk about when it comes to the owners coming from the technology business and they only hire people they're familiar with. So you bring a bunch of numbers and math guys and things like that, but you don't really have like NBA people coming in. People who used to play, former players, people who's been around NBA for years. You exclude those people who actually mix the craft to craft. It's almost like it's the equivalent of like when people speak about gentrification. It's the gentrification of ownership in the NBA or some shit, even though people never really own teams, but it's just now you add, you give it to another group of people, tech guys. Instead of appreciating the people who really built it to where it is now. So, but they backed off. I mean, I don't know what their mentality, people keep using the excuse, well, they need, they're trying to focus and really highlight education. Okay, if you're really doing that, then allow players who come in and want to get a college degree, but also playing sport, to choose what they want to do instead of telling them, nah, you need to get this because your class schedule is going to be this, this, and this. It's like, the school keep telling these guys, you're here to play football, you're here to play basketball. But if a guy comes in and say, man, I'm just here to play football, here to play basketball, there's something wrong with that. But you treat them that way anyway. And then back to the fans, y'all trash because y'all be out here like, well, I can't believe, and then I've played for school. Then why wasn't you good at something? You know you'd be really good at writing, get a scholarship to be a journalist, right? And still make money doing other shit. Why does people have to be stupid on purpose? Now, recent news of Jay-Z. Okay, I'm going to have to say it. So, Jay-Z. So, I view Jay-Z differently than almost everybody I know. People love Jay-Z. I'm like, that's how I feel. The same way, you know, I compare it to people loving Undertaker when it comes to wrestler and people loving Batman when it comes to comic books. That's how I view Jay-Z. It's like, oh my God, they're like the, it's like, I'm like, when it comes to Jay-Z. And so recent news came out that Jay-Z and the NFL will be working together when it comes to the entertainment part and also social justices, right? The NFL, not too long ago, had worked on this thing for this committee for social justice and things in the community. The awareness that Colin Kaepernick really put focus on and the attention to. And my view, so in general, sometimes I wished I had this obsession and love for certain people that people loved, and I'm just more like, about, which I just said, Batman, Jay-Z, and Undertaker. And, but I've always viewed them differently. Like, I feel like, they're great. It's like, I ain't shit on them. If you love them, you love them. But for me, it's just not the game changer. I feel like, wow. It's so fucking amazing. It's a lot of things you can respect and appreciate, but I, for this Jay-Z thing, okay, this is the part where we could be wrong. Like, he really might have some bigger things to plan. Sometimes if you have to work from within for change, and I completely understand it because I've, once upon a time, that's part of what I was doing. is you build relationships to build the change and really inform and do other things, right? Especially when he's out here trying to get these contracts at, you know, the hotel and just the hospitality, the food industry, right? But my thing is Jay-Z, people follow Jay-Z. When people love talking about the death of auto-tune and don't drink this and don't wear that, people listen to Jay-Z. So Jay-Z had the full opportunity. He shit on the NFL and people felt bad. Like, well, Jay-Z, like, don't get the bag. Jay-Z was trying to talk people out to get in the bag, right? Remember people shit on Travis Scott. People didn't really bother Big Boy because they knew he was in Atlanta, but Big Boy was on there, did a couple things, just rode out. But people really was shitting on these other people over that. And Jay-Z was like, trying to talk to me, the Meek Mill situation. So he didn't talk to these people not getting the bag. The coast is clear. There was nothing going on. People was like, well, Jay said, dude, I'm not going to do it. And did he go here and get the bag? Now, if Jay-Z, for example, I do an example of talking to somebody. Hey, I'm talking to somebody and we, you know, and it's like, a homeboy of mine is like, I don't know if you need to fuck with her because this and this and this. And you really like, oh, shit, that is crazy, man. You know what? I ain't fucking with her no more. You know what? Moving on. Then you find your homeboy on Lolo was like, he, you know, he just chilling in the background and he ended up fucking with her. It's like, you know, if you kind of think about it, man, I'm not talking to her, being where it's not that bad. And it's like, yo, you cleared the deck after telling me all this. And now you out here fucking with her. Now, if he just like... That's what that basically felt like. That's what it looks like from a certain perspective. Now, if Jay-Z came out with the NFL and was like, okay, let's all take a step back real quick. We not going to rock with them. You know what I'm saying? Let's try to figure some things out. And if they willing to come to the table and talk to us, then we cool. No, that's different narrative, dog. That's different from what this looks like just happened. Even though the intention still might be in a good place. It seems like it will be. But the thing about it is no one's going to say anything because it's Jay-Z. People are like, oh, man, it's the great. I told y'all he the greatest, the greatest. If it was anybody else, y'all be pissed clean the fuck off. I've been making this example. Minus all the other stuff. Kanye West. With the public stuff for Trump. And I feel different ways about different things. I try to kind of, you know, you don't really trust people's mentality when it comes to shit. But Kanye West, he gets in the White House. People had all the names. Are you actually there? He said, he mentioned Larry Hoover's name to free. He mentioned, hey, I'm trying to make, you get to the point where we put jobs back in Chicago, factories with those workers, so it helps the community and also better the education in Chicago. And nobody gave a flying fuck of what he said there. It was the fact he was there with Trump. So all the people that shit on the NFL and y'all ain't rocking with Kaepernick and y'all blackballed him and blah, 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 blah. Even Jay-Z himself was like, nah, man, this and this and this. And then he just come out of nowhere and, you know, like, all right, we working together. You cleared the decks. You had everybody like, oh, I guess I'm not going to go there. Now, if you told people just like, yo, take a step back real quick. We're going to hold off and we're going to figure out a way to kind of get in this. That's different. It's just totally different. And I hope whoever's listening, y'all can comprehend what I'm saying because that's the fucking truth. So that's why when you revert back to like some of the things that happened in the past with Rockefeller and things like that, I can understand why niggas didn't was mad at Jay-Z over that shit. Like bigger plan, people love Jay-Z and you look at the business aspect too, it's like, oh man, just getting his bag, getting his money. Usually people who make millions and billions of dollars, you gonna make some really uncomfortable decisions and then people kind of agree with you, like, all right, cool, he had to do what he had to do to get the bag. But on the surface, no, that shit ain't cool. I ain't saying for me because I don't give a fuck, but I'm saying like it's funny how the narrative changed when people give excuses to who because you liked or something like that. But there's no consistency. If it was anyone else, it'd just be a totally different monster right now. Y'all be acting totally different. Y'all open ears. Which, by the way, just says y'all never really didn't want to not watch football. You know what I find interesting about people want to boycott football? Kind of add this to the politics realm, but it reminds me so much of like, I don't think that people don't, I don't think people really hate Republicans. I think people are upset because they want to be Republicans. They want to be conservative. They are conservative. It's just because of the isms, they get mad because why can't you change so I can join you? That's what it seems like to me. To me, that's how you know people are really just not, they're not true to whatever anger and passion they have towards something. I want things to be better to be better. I ain't trying, like, that's how I feel about kind of like the NFL in this. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, people love it, it means something. It's like, for me, I have no, like, I just care about the process and the players. I don't give a fuck about the league itself. I don't give a fuck about, like, I don't have to, like, I grew up a Steelers and Packers fans. I don't really have a tie to that shit. If you talk to me about it, I could talk to you all day about the players, what's going on, the process, the teams, the trades, all that shit. But other than that, don't have an emotional attachment to it. I don't need the NFL to make it for an identity. That's why I use the tangent when it comes to people, the Democrats and Republicans, is most people are conservative. The way they think, the way they live, the way they want to do their lifestyle when it comes to living life through the church, the way they judge, how they live, and they like the traditional stuff, and they want to be a certain way and act a certain way. But it's just all the isms. To me, people come off more upset because they're just begging for them to be right so they can finally join them instead of, no, you just got to get your shit right because you just got to get your shit right if I join you or not. That's two totally different things. Tell me if I'm wrong. I know I'm not, but tell me if I'm wrong. I dare you to. For those who are listening. So we'll see. It's a win-win and lose-lose at the same damn time. I know it sounds crazy. The win-win for Jay-Z is it don't even matter. If things work out for him, people are like, I told you so, Jay-Z, man, the best ever, man. He always had a plan. That's how you always move. Like, and you shit on the, get mad. I see y'all just hating on Jay-Z and I realize he do this high. That's how he do things. The lose-lose is kind of like, nothing really changes. Like, you think they really give a fuck about quote-unquote social justice? Man, the existence of most things that goes on is not exactly about the change. It's about you shutting the fuck up. Or at least if you feel a certain way, just don't talk about it publicly. Let's have a conversation about this. What discussion do we need to have about niggas dying? That's what I'm trying to figure out. People are dead. What's the discussion we need to have? When kids are getting killed, people are being killed over fucking territory that it don't even fucking matter. Random ass rules. That being raped, getting killed, being in a massacre, some of these things are so extreme where there's no people use, quote unquote, these are not political discussions, but when you do that, it either makes people fall back and be uncomfortable, and number two, then they start hiding behind whatever shield or whatever they believe in, whatever their party they rock with. The shit is not up for discussion. No, it's time to educate. Anyways, enough of that. So, just kind of add, yo, by the way, stop shitting on Carmelo Anthony. You're appreciative motherfuckers. It's weird how people say, well, he selfish and not a catch and shoot guy. Look, every Olympics he's played with elite dudes, guess what? He's been the scorer and he's been the best catch and shoot guy on the team. Oh, he's not the great defender. Fam, y'all let so many dudes get away from the... One thing about Melo, he's not this defender where you feel like he's going to change the game, but he ain't letting people eat the way y'all think he be out here letting people eat on him. It's like y'all love narratives but never can prove a motherfucking thing. Y'all just like the narrative of what you're told to think. Anyway. Especially, it just sucks because he's such a cool, laid-back dude, and y'all shit on him. He's, like, quiet, letting y'all get y'all shit off. And then he finally says, look, man, oh, man, you too late. Should have said something a couple years ago. But y'all let Phil Jackson basically shit on him for a long-ass time. Anyway, so now it's time for this segment. It's the overthinker moment. The overthinking moment, the overthinker by Ramon. I want to talk about this top 50 list. So this top 50 list went out and people was clean, pissed the fuck off, which I don't understand why. But and people start making lists about who the greatest of all times. And one of the things that really insults me about people doing their tops lists and top 5, top 10, top 50, top 20, it don't even matter, is people make these rules up. Like, for example, Andre 3000, you want to put them on the top 5, top 10, but I can't because he didn't come out with a fucking album. Yo, but he is still, dude is so cold that he still got you like, man, he is that cold. I want to put him in the top 10, top 5 with no album. Put him on that fucking list. Yo, I don't like when people make up rules. If this person made you feel this way when you was listening to their fucking music, they in your tops list. They are the best at what they do. It don't stop anyone to put somebody in the top 5 or top 10 for playing a team sport. So what the fuck make rap any different? What it is to me is I feel like sometimes people, like Andre 3000, people get so caught where it's like, well, you need to put Top Big Boy up there because of Andre 3000 because they was a group in Outkast. Like, look, if people don't rock with Big Boy, that's unfortunate. Like, I feel like he's underrated. But if 3000 is in your top 5, that's in your top 5. The music about how the fuck you feel. How did that make you directly feel? What did that music do for you? Oh, the dude is so dope. He's such a lyricist. Okay, he's a lyricist and you love lyricists. It's such a subjective thing and people argue over the shit. This shit is worse than motherfuckers telling you how they eat their food or not. Now, I can judge some people about some shit, but like I think eggs in general, especially when you're out here cutting eggs and having the shit run on shit, that's trash. Eggs in general is trash. But I'm saying like, yo, it's about what the fuck music does for you. Simple. Stop this whole, well, I can't because you can come out album. Yo, you know some of the greatest artists ever known don't be having all that great of an album? Like, you people make up the term, well, it was a classic album. No, how did that, when the album came out, how did it make you feel? Matter of fact, since I was talking about Jay-Z, nobody, I'm saying this personally. People might say this. I did not, or it wasn't Reasonable Doubt wasn't the thing to look for back in the day. It just wasn't. Might be New York, but it wasn't a thing. It's more like you appreciate it now more than ever. Was Volume 1 really that good to people? I'm trying to figure out what's Volume 2. But like that's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy how just the narratives just go. And by the way, like, I feel like, especially in hip-hop, we need to kind of preserve that shit like wine. The same way rock does. The same way country does. We literally treat our music like spoiled fucking milk. We treat it worse than that. We treat it like, you know, you cook something and you put it in the fridge and you might reheat it the next day. But after that, even if you have leftover, you just throw it out. That's how we treat our music. But anyway, stop making up these fucking rules. If you feel like somebody's dope, they're fucking dope. They're amazing. They made you feel a certain way. They making all these random ass rules about, well, I feel like this. And it's like, yo, I'm telling you, if Andre 3000 is that dope in a group, he's that dope in a group. Just don't stop anyone from loving individual people in Wu-Tang. The solo album shit. Like, nobody give a fuck about that like that. We just trying to figure out which Drake album is a fucking classic. But it won't stop anybody from figuring out if he's in top. It won't stop anybody saying he's a top 10, depending on how you view it. He has a classic album, but he might have a classic album. But it's not, like, you know, like, y'all understand what I'm saying about this? There's certain artists I feel like y'all just love off of narratives. But it doesn't mean he's a great album person. Doesn't, like, that's my problem when people make up rules about top 50. They're like, yo, when you heard this person or you listen to this person, how does it make you feel? Jeezy might not be in no one's top 10, top 5, maybe top 15. But I know when motherfuckers heard TM101, totally different monster. 50 Cent might be in people's top 5 or 10. Mostly 10, basically because, you know, you look at some of the other things he's done inside of the hip-hop. Same thing with Jay-Z. But I bet you when you heard Get Rich or Die Trying, totally different monster. You know, like, those things really matter, man. Okay, cool. Andre 3000 don't have an individual album, even if you don't really care about Love Below. If you do, you want to put that with the speaker box, things like that. But you hear International Players Anthem, totally different monster. You hear Bombs Over Baghdad, totally different monster. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Anyway, that's my overthinker moment. And yeah, man, it's good talking to everyone. Thank you for coming. Listen to your boy. Had a lot to say. I really do hope many of you do listen. Going about 55 minutes. It's 55 minutes talk hearing one person talk. That's crazy. But anyway, y'all be safe. Get money. Say no to drugs. Wrap it up. And all the good stuff. Much love to you all. Be safe. All right? Hello.